Good morning. In Malawi, we say mazuka bwanji. Yes, sounds like bazooka. That's how I remember it, word association. It's a great blessing to be in front of you and to see you. I'm from this church. I went to the Christian school up there, graduated and went to Bible college back here. And then somehow, I think by great faith, sent me out to the mission field, not knowing what would happen. But by the grace of God, God is faithful. Amen. If we can turn in our Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 7. I love this portion of Scripture, and I think it encapsulates what's happened in the country of Malawi, where my wife and I are serving, along with my mother and father are also there as well with us. And we had the Slivas as well with us, and Pastor Albert from Zambia. You'll get to know him, I'm sure, eventually. But these verses, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, it says, "And it came to pass when the king," that's King David, "sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' And it came to pass at that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, 'Go tell your servant David, thus says the Lord, shall you build me a house for me to dwell in?'" So let's pray. Father, bless these short words and the offering to follow, and just pray that they'd be an encouragement in your precious name. Amen. I think when we read this, we can see that David had something in his heart. He wanted to do something for God. Yet it wasn't what God wanted. He wanted to build a house for God. He wanted to do something for God, but yet God had a different plan. And God said, "I'm the one that will build you the house." And I think in our lives, we have many plans that we want to do, maybe even some that we want to do for God. But God directs us, and he says, "I'm the one that's going to be doing the work. I'm the one that will be doing the building." It says in Psalm 127:1 that unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, they labor in vain. And we've been 3 years in the country of Malawi. We were in Zambia before with Pastor Ronaldo and the team that was there. And then we went in different directions. And we went to the east, to the country of Malawi, which is about the size of New Jersey. But yet it has 16 million people in it. It's like small but packed. And it's one of the poorest countries in Africa. You can see it somewhat in the country, but the difference is that the people's hearts are so hungry. There's an incredible hunger. And, you know, we're so thankful for our training that we got here in Bible school, and then I was serving in Hungary before that with Pastor Schauer and the team there and was trained there, and then we were in Zambia. And we have, you know, an idea. We have a training for what we do, and we went into Malawi with that mindset. But God told us, "I'll be the one that will build the house for you. I'll build it for you." Like Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And in the last 3 years, in the last 3 months, we've seen God do incredible things. We have a Bible school, we have a church, and we started the Bible school, and it was many people were coming. We had about 80 people last semester. But then, incredibly, we started the next semester, and the Bible school just doubled. It's like 160 people out of nowhere. And we're like, how did this happen? Do we change our format? Do we do anything different? And we didn't do anything different, but God just was building the house. And we have people hanging out of windows. Our room was too small, so people were sitting on the ground in Bible school. We put mats on the ground, and we had like 30 people sitting on the ground. The chairs were full. And then God gave us a new place to have Bible school, which fits everybody, thankfully. And we're just amazed and seeing what God is doing. Then we had an opportunity. We didn't think it was possible to be on the radio, but someone suggested, why don't you just go and ask and see if it's, you know, how much it is and what it would be to be on the radio. And we found out it's very affordable. And so we are on the radio once a week for a half hour per week. We don't call it Grace Hour, we call it Grace Moments because it's less than an hour. But it reaches the entire country. And then our next vision is there's five major cities that are in the country of Malawi. We're in the capital, which is right in the center. And this summer we're sending, like Christ did, sending people two by two. So we sent two people to each of these five cities. And they go there for about 7 or 10 days, evangelize and do a Bible study, and then promote the radio show. And that way they'll, you know, people can listen on the radio as well and hear the message of grace and the finished work. And maybe just to finish, you know, we were in Zambia and we came back here for the birth of our first child years ago. And just thinking about how God has built us and how God is the one that builds our lives. You know, we got our life set up and everything. And I promised the people in Zambia, the Bible school graduates, that we would go back for their, I would be there for their graduation. Even though I was moving back to the United States, I promised them I'd come for a visit. And I did. And when I was there, God just spoke to my heart incredibly and saying, you know, this is the place for you, Southern Africa. And I said in my heart, how is it possible? You know, we live in America, we just bought a house, we have all these things. But I was overwhelmed by the presence of God and the hunger of these people that are in Southern Africa. And I came back and I thought it was crazy, but I told my wife, I think we should move back to Zambia and Malawi. And I was ready for her to say to me, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. But she said, okay, let's go. Let's do it. And I'm so thankful for my wife. I think she might be in the mother's room, maybe in some, she can stand, but nobody can see her. This is what God does for each and every one of our lives. And I'm so thankful to you as the church, as the body of Christ that has encouraged us and our family. Just your love, every handshake, every encouraging word, every prayer. This is what's made it possible for whatever's happening in Southern Africa, is your love and your prayers. And we are one and God is building us together. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. We thank you for each and every one's life that's here, laying down their life for the gospel's sake. We pray for this offering, that it would be a reflection of what you've done in our life. We trust you and we believe you, and bless the words to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
We had a special wedding yesterday, as well as many activities in the church. Visits and outreach to Wilmington, Delaware. The wedding was very special with two special families, the Groenwald family and the Orsi family. And I'd like to share with you this morning the beginning principle. And I'd like you to, the first point, well, we have John chapter 6. So if you turn there with me to John chapter 6. This is, if you're new at Greater Grace, then the month of June is, in a way, a homecoming month for our missionaries, like Pastor Chris Moore, lives in Malawi, Africa. And there will be Europeans coming. I'm sorry, Chris Harmon. Thank you. I got that. Thank you. Chris Armin and Europeans, Africans, Pastor Shabelli is in Dover Plains today. Pastor Love is in Marlboro. A homecoming is when we come together and we celebrate what God has done through the year. So did we already invite the people that are just come in the last 48 hours or 3 days? If you haven't been greeted, would you just stand up? We just want to recognize you if you've come from India or even Massachusetts. Okay. Andy is here. Natasha, Anastasia. Anastasia from the Ukraine, Avi from China, Pastor Devendra from India, Andy from Romania. Andy, is your wife here with you or no? Okay. She'll be coming, I'm sure, or however that goes. Andy's married to a Romanian, so that's awesome to see you. And so Saturday night, if you want to come, I think there's food in the parking lot Saturday night, and we'll just be out together celebrating. There's a missionary ladies' tea there this week. There's a Wednesday night service. So then the convention starts in 8 days. So the golf tournament is 8 days from today, and then the evening service. So if you're a golfer, sign up online and play. Usually there's about 100 guys that are playing golf, something like that. So that's on Monday. Okay, all right. So John 6, verse 49. Read it out loud with me, please. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. I think we are in the congregation of the dead right now. All right, so ready? 1, 2, 3. Your fathers, loud. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Usually we say, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. God gave it to them every day. That was a miracle. He fed them. But Jesus makes another point. They are dead. Okay? It was only for a while, but then they died. But now he's offering them something greater. Verse 50. This is the bread. Read it out loud with me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Liz Grunwald and Micah Orsi gave vows yesterday. They fell in love. How tragic. Turn to your neighbor and just say, tragic. Terrible. May it never happen to you. Okay, they fell in what we call, I'm reading now from C.S. Lewis, what we call falling, being in love is a glorious state and in several ways good for us. It helps to make us generous, courageous. It opens our eyes to not only the beauty of the beloved, but to all beauty. It subordinates our merely animal sexuality. In that sense, love is the great conqueror of lust. No one in his senses would deny being in love is far better than either common sensuality or cold self-centeredness. But as I said before, the most dangerous thing you can do is to make any one impulse of our nature and set it up as a thing you ought to follow at all costs. Being in love is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. There are many things below it, but there are also things above it. What is above being in love? Why don't you ask your neighbor? I'll go over and have a glass of water. You preach the message. Go ahead. Talk to your neighbor. What is better than being in love? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Go ahead. Talk to your neighbor. What? Yeah. Well, okay. All right, here it is. You cannot make it the basis of a whole life. It is a noble feeling, but it is still a feeling. Now, no feeling can be relied on to last in its full intensity, or even to last at all. Knowledge can last, principles can last, habits can last, but feelings come and go. Let's draw a picture. Here's a man and a woman. There we go. She has shoes on. And he is a salt shaker. So you have feelings coming and going. You have a state of being in love. What is higher, what is better, but a principle? We could say in Psalm 61, vows. Psalm 65, Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, when she said to the Lord, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. Yeah, but Hannah, really, were you just saying it? Or will you, when the son came, she gave him to the Lord and kept her vow. Even if at times we are falling out of love, or we change. But Chesterton, one British apologist, said something very, very profound. Maybe I can, it's better if I read it. The curious thing is that lovers themselves, while they remain really in love, know this better than those who talk about love. As Chesterton pointed out, those who are in love have a natural inclination to bind themselves by promises. Love songs all over the world are full of vows of eternal constancy. The Christian law is not forcing upon the passion of love something which is foreign to that passion's own nature. It is demanding that lovers should take seriously something which their passion of itself impels them to do. What he's saying is, if you really are in love with each other, you'll go to the higher, you will look for principle. You'll say, listen, I love you. I love you so much that I want to make a promise to you. And that is, even if things changed, I'm still going to be committed to you. Wow. That's called marriage. But I think there are elements in this lesson that are useful for all of us in other ways too. Christ himself, when he came into this world, we can draw his picture here. Christ comes in as a man, and how does he live? When it is painful, he does his Father's will. When he's by himself, he does his Father's will. When he lives a long time and nobody knows who he really is, 29 years, Nobody really knows who he is. He doesn't take it upon himself to get something done. He does his Father's will. This is fantastic if we can find it for ourselves also. That's what I want to talk about. What this is, how we now live. But first I want to talk about you and I. Let's see if I can move this. Okay, good. Here we go. Let's talk about... Okay. Sorry. Okay. That was a lot of work just to draw that picture right there. Man. Okay. I want to first talk about us. I have a booklet Pastor Stevens wrote called My Cross. I recommend it. And I'm going to refer to it during the course of our message. Follow me as we go along in our message. There are bits and pieces. There are very few, but I think you understood what I want to say today. I want to talk about you and I as we are as people, and then that higher, that principle that really changes our life and makes us different. There are people here today, I'm sure you might say, I'm just a common man, common woman, nothing really exceptional happening in my life. I live, I work, I have my car, I live in an apartment or a house, I have my family, I'm dog dead tired, I'm exhausted, I'm a believer, but I really don't know if there's anything really that I could really get a hold of that would make my life just something greater than what it is. Picture a man, very strong, healthy, well-built, bound by powerful chains of iron. With all of his strength, he cannot break the chains that hold him. That is a picture of the condition of many Christians today. As much as a person may desire to be released from the chains that keep him imprisoned, the chains are too powerful. He cannot break them. Someone could bring unique life-changing messages and build him up with truth while he remains in his chains. Temporarily encouraged and inspired, yet bound with chains of iron. Please understand that it does not have to be that way. I call this message My Cross. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and because I believe God saved me, inner healing, inner victory, inner peace, inner power, inner fellowship, identification with Christ, the new creation has been given to us as a gift from God. But we must claim it personally to possess the gift of the abundant life in inner healing. I must claim it, and I must have my cross. Let's see, what did I do with my... Okay, here we go. Listen to me. Turn to Hosea, please. Proverbs 11. One verse from there. 11:29. Now, I'm going to ask you to talk to your neighbor about it because that's how I get your attention. And also, you don't like talking to your neighbor, so I'm forced. So, you know, it's, you don't like it. So I like to do things you don't like. So look at Proverbs 11, verse 29. He that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. Read it out loud with me. He that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. Ask your neighbor, have you ever troubled your own house? All right, I walked over there and I asked these group of men, have you ever troubled your own house? And Pastor Chris Armin said, this morning. Have we brought into our own home a fight? Have we troubled our wife, our husband, our children? Have we brought in something? Maybe a video movie or some pornography or some infectious idea. Have we started an argument or gotten into a fight and troubled our own house? That's a great lesson. I don't want to stick to this verse, but I just want to say it happens, and we inherit what? Wind. Wind that blows the papers around. Wind without any substance. Wind that blows through the house. Where did my kids go? Where did the love go? What happened to my world? Peace and security and love and encouragement. Has it ever happened in a church? We brought trouble into the church, and we inherit the wind. That's enough of that. I think we're all very discouraged right now. For I have seen the wind come and go. Amen? Yes, I have, but I want to introduce something amazing. Yay. I really want you to pay it. Yay! I really want you to pay attention. Okay? Let's talk about this fellow right here in the world that he lives in by nature. I realize when Christ came into the world, there was a huge difference between us and him because he had never sinned. And we have no idea what that is. No sin. The way he looked at the world around him, the way he knew his Father very intimately. He loved him. Christ loved the Father. The Father loved the Son. I mean, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God has found any man. It says that he has looked and searched even for 1,000. I mean, looked through 1,000 and found none. His eyes to and fro has gone through all the world and found, but at the baptism of Jesus, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. What about us? Well, whatever is not of faith is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. It comes from the heart. It is a fruit of lust. We have dead works. Often sin is presumptuous. Sometimes it is open. Sometimes it is secret. It is besetting sin. Hebrews 12:1. I wonder why I don't make any progress. I have besetting sin in my life. in my heart. All men are conceived and born in it. The imaginations of the heart of men are evil continually. All men are shapen in it. Christ only was without it. The law gives us the knowledge of it, shows the exceeding sinfulness of man. It stirs up sin, the law. That's why I thought of it in my early Christian life. I could never go to a legalistic church. It would kill me. Be better not to go to any, even though I look for fellowship, but I need the grace of God amongst us. But the strength of sin is in the law. And there are many curses on man because of sin. When Christ came, he came to make us free from it, dead to sin, ashamed of when we commit it. The Word of God keeps us from it in Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me show you a form of it from Hosea. Turn there now, please, to Hosea chapter 7. I needed to go to a church where I learn about it. We had a great service here on Wednesday night. We talked about the mayor of New York City, the advertisements going up. Think beyond pink and blue. Check it out on the website. The foolishness of sin. When our leaders are promoting sin, just like they did in the time of Israel, when Ahab did it, and they promote it, and there were kings of Israel. I read about one this morning. He was just promoting sin, and then the Lord said, through the prophet, that I'm going to give you a disease in your bowels. And I thought, ooh, that's nasty. And it said that he suffered for 2 years, and then he died. And I was thinking, Lord, that was that related to his leadership? And apparently, I mean, it is written that way. It was the foolishness in leadership and the sin and the pain that comes from sin. Sin is not my friend. And when we're living in a culture when they are promoting it as a lifestyle, we need to be awake and alert and not enjoy sin. The world will teach you to take the pleasure in it, enjoy it for a season. But oh, phew. Here, look at this, Hosea 7, verse 9. Strangers have devoured his strength, speaking of Israel, and he knows not that gray hairs are here and there upon him. I saw a young man today out here under the entryway after the morning service. And I noticed in his blonde hair there was gray. And I thought, I wonder if he knows that he has some gray. Israel did not know that the gray was there, here and there. And they don't know how wrong they are. And there are many people that are amongst us that we don't know. We don't realize that the problem and the trouble that I have in my heart is rooted in my sin. Wow. Check your neighbor's hair for a second. Second thought, forget it. Well, pay attention. Look up here, please. Okay, look at chapter 7, verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. What was that sound in the back there? Okay, chapter 7, verse 11. Ready? Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Silly dove. How many have a dove in your backyard that comes and goes in the garden and the trees? Anybody here? Every once in a while, dove comes by and we look for the second one. They're usually in pairs. I've seen them for years in our Baltimore neighborhoods. There's a dove flying low, telephone wire to the garage rooftop from a tree branch, kind of out in the open oftentimes. And I don't know why God calls Israel a silly dove, except they will go to Egypt and change their mind. They'll go to Assyria. They'll go anywhere and everywhere and look for help politically and militarily, but they are not coming to God. And I've seen this with people. They are howling on their beds. Look at verse 14. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They howl on their beds. They are so unhappy. They are so hurt, so disappointed. They are confused. They fly low-level flight, like just from one circumstance to another circumstance to another one. They go from a problem to what she said to what he said, and they live like that, and their heart is divided. That's the point. Look at chapter 10 and verse 2, please. Their heart is divided. They have gray hairs, but they don't know it. They have sin in their life, but they don't realize it. They think it's just normal. It's normal like to live like that. And this is what we want to point out to you as we go to this. Now, look up at the screen here. You know, sin in my life, you know what I need? Something bigger than me. I need... I'll read it to you here. If you will listen and honor this message, you can break some of the most difficult habits in your life. Listen to this. Whatever church you go to, whoever your pastor is, whatever pastor speaks the best message that relates to your need, buy the tape, listen to it 10 times, in 10 weeks, all alone, with no distractions. If tapes are not practical, there are many fine doctrinal booklets available. Well, some of you might say, what's a tape? Okay, we're old. Okay, we're old. Okay. What does it mean? You see, Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God, and his name is called the Word of God. That person is actually this book. This book, the Word of God, is actually that person. They are one and the same. The spirit of the book, the content of the book, the words of the book, the doctrines of the book, the message of the book is that person. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we could handle him and touch him and listen to him. But now he has gone into heaven, and here we are on the earth, and we have this book that is speaking. And it is pure. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want to pay attention to it. That's what we call the cross. The cross is when this book speaks to me and is challenging my sin. when that book is saying to me in my heart that I am wrong, God is right, and I submit to Him and I believe Him. This is that principle higher than ourselves. Then Pastor goes on. He says, listen to one message 10 times in 10 weeks. The first time you listen, it is encouraging. The second time, it is enjoyable. The third time, it is interesting. Fourth time, it is repetitious. Fifth time, it is repetitious. Sixth time, new things come out. Seventh time, it is encouraging. Eighth time, it is inspirational. Ninth time, something is happening. Tenth time, for the average person, it is transforming. The Word of God heals, Psalm 107, verse 20. It delivers, Colossians 1:13. The Word is life, John 6:63. It is power, Acts 1, verse 8. The entrance of the Word of God breaks down attachments that develop through decisions in your negative volition. Okay, here I am. My sin is here. And I have my feelings. And we can put in there somebody for a marriage who's going through troubles. And I have bad habits and negative volition. And there I am as a person, and it might be me at work where I got some habits going on in my life that are personal, and I'm very discouraged, howling on my bed, flying from there to there, like confused and not happy, satisfied. I ate man in the wilderness and I'm dead. That's what this country needs. It is not manna in the wilderness and I die, but I need manna that comes from heaven so that I live. And that manna is Christ. And that Christ is here in this word. And this word is the revelation of that person. And when we go to the cross, and I mean, the cross is a place where I agree with God. Now, let me give an example. Pastor Chris Armin, which we heard speak this morning, was on our team in Hungary as a young man, great team member. And he saw God move in Hungary, and it was very encouraging. He came back to America, and he said to me, I think I'm going to go to nursing school. Then I will have a profession, I'll have a job, I'll have money, I can also do some mission work, and that's a plan. So he started. But because there was something deeper, which we're trying to say here this morning, this principle was not nursing school. This is not up here nursing school. What is it? Or it isn't my marriage, or it isn't myself, or it isn't my life or my future, or the things that I love, or my life. No, that is too low for what we're talking about. What is it? It's God at the cross. I bring it to the cross. Pastor Chris knew in his heart he had to bring his plan to God at the cross. And you know what God said to him? This isn't your place. I have something for you. Follow me by faith. And he came, he decided, so he went for like one semester, was it? Or one semester? And interestingly enough, here's a side story. He did lab in the course that he took with a man that 10 years later, he met that same man in a grocery store in Malawi. And that man had studied with him, but he left. He had witnessed to him, and he had left. Now Pastor Chris is a pastor in Malawi, and they've gone different ways, but they just happened to meet at a grocery store in the country of Malawi. And Pastor Chris had a message for him. What happened? Pastor Chris, this is what you have to do. Your life is not here. This is not the point. Your life is not the point. The cross is the point. That's where you find life. It's by losing your life that you find your life. It's by having the cross in your life and saying, the whole world is saying, you only live once. What are others? You only live once. Get all the gusto. You can't afford to lose your precious life. What do we say? My life as a sinner is not such a great deal. I howl on my bed. I have a gray hair here and there, and I don't even know what's going on. I'm like a silly dove without heart. I don't have any real perspective. I don't really understand how to live this life anyway. And you're expecting me as a sinner to find my way? Get a hold of this. It is amazing when you give up and you say, I don't care about my life. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to hear from God. God will bless. God will determine for me. And this is what happens. The clarity comes. The peace comes. The joy comes back. You get up higher, a silly dove going from here to there, from point, one garage top to one garage top, and you go up to being an eagle. Eagle Scout. You get promoted. You get up there a mile or two. You have great eyesight. You got great power and great rest. And you're saying, I get a bigger picture of what is happening. Christ is real. Christ is the essence. Christ is what it's all about. And this young man said, I'll go to nursing school and I got it figured out. But God said, no, because you're at the cross. I'm going to lead you and guide you, and I'll bless you more than what you, if that's the will of, nursing is the will of God, absolutely awesome. What if it isn't? How will I know? How do I live? Well, he said in this book, take a message and listen to it 10 times. Get in a quiet, I'll say it my way, get in a quiet room, shut out the lights, get serious in your heart, and say, Lord, I am sick and tired of howling on my bed, crying about how bad it is, crying about how it went wrong, crying about how I haven't gotten what I wanted, crying about how my life, and let me say, Lord, I am the problem. I am the one that's sowing into my family trouble and reaping the wind. I am the one that's sowing a wind and reaping a hurricane. I am the problem in this world. I am the problem in this life, and I need Jesus Christ in a very real way. And it says in the Bible, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Why don't you want to drink? Because I've got temperance. I don't need it. But next Friday you're going to need it. Let's let God decide if I need it or not. God can decide for me my future. God can take care of me and fill me with His Spirit. God can teach me how to speak in an edifying way and bring love and edification into the house, into the family. How I can bring love and edification into the church life, into my friendships. How I can bring love and edification into my working place. And people will take a second look at you and say, what's happened to you? And you say, the cross. You go, what? You mean the one around your neck? No, the one in my heart. I have been waiting on God, quietly anticipating, waiting on God and listening to His messages, and they have been speaking to my heart and building me up, and He's making me a worshiper. A worshiper. You can always tell the people that are crying and complaining, they are not worshipers. They don't have any cross life. They haven't found the mystery of the principle that changes things and makes your life, brings content into your life and peace and joy. Bad habits are not a problem to God. They can melt away in His presence in Psalm 68. Things that I've never been able to shake all my life, they are not a problem to God. They can melt and be gone. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. God has no problem with any of the sin that is in this room today. God has dealt with it at the cross and He has power over it. I just need to become a listener and a hearer and a worshiper and respect what He has said in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when we hide this in our heart, not just say it in your mouth, but say it in your heart, hiding the word in the heart, and we will not sin against You. Isn't that good? That's what I wanted to share today. That's it. That's important. Become a listener and say, I got to hear it again. Listen again, I'll hear something new. And you'll get new attachments in your heart and in your mind. You actually get excited. Honestly, you actually get excited by it. I got all kinds of pages of stuff here. I'm getting excited about the energia that comes from God that affects our ministry. It affects the ministry of the Word. I got it all here from the Greek and the listing of the words in our New Testament. The power, the energizing of God in us. That's where it comes from. It's from God, and it's in us. That's where our passion, our quietness, our love, our joy, our peace, our persuasiveness comes from God Himself. Because He didn't give His Son just so that we just kind of live like a silly dove. He gave His Son that we'd be focused. We'd be on the move. We'd be on the move. We'd be... We'd be something going on inside. And if we interviewed this young man over here, Pastor Chris Harmon, and say, what do you think? He said, I went to Malawi. We are on the radio. We got a Bible college that multiplied. I got my mom and my dad. You want to stand up for just a second, Pastor George and Carol? I got my mom and my dad in Malawi, you know, like living and filling out years and a dream, and to think of the grandchildren and grandpa and grandma and walking the streets of the dusty streets in Malawi, bringing the gospel to people. What a joy. How did it happen? I couldn't have planned it. The cross did it. I couldn't have organized it. The cross did it. I could be in another place in my life, but God gave me something higher to live by, and that's the principle of Christ Himself. The cross is where we dwell, and God will take care of you, and it'll be brand new, and the Lord will do it for you. But we need the cross in our life. Okay, pray with me, please. It's okay, it's all right. You don't know if you should clap or not, so don't worry about it. Okay, here we go. Ready? Say to Jesus in your heart, as a believer, just say, Jesus, I fell asleep halfway through the message, but I want to take something home with me. Maybe God spoke to my heart right this morning and said, that's what I need. I got I'm a strong man, but these chains, I cannot break them. Only Christ at the cross can set me free. The truth will set me free. Christ will set me free, and we will glorify Him in that. And then if you're not a believer yet, this is your day. This is your day to believe in Jesus Christ. Your day for your new birth, spiritual birth. Your day to believe and put your trust in Him as your Savior. He takes away all your sin in a second. It's all done. Please say to Jesus, I believe in you. Please say to Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. Help my unbelief. I have doubts, but I believe. I'm not sure about a lot of things, but I believe you were raised from the dead and you're the Savior of the world. That's what I believe. I start right there. I believe you, Lord. And show me who you are in Christ's name. Anyone saying that prayer, please raise your hand. Anyone accepting Jesus today, please raise your hand. And we're going to give you a booklet. Anyone at all, the ushers will give you a booklet. Just raise your hand up and say yes to Jesus. Anyone here today? Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.